Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I was going to start the show, but I believe I'm retiring. I just got an email from someone claiming to be from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and they would like to park money in my bank account if I would just send them the account number. I just got this email. Fascinating. They're using me as a conduit for their COVID-19 funding. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here at the Eric Erickson Show. Sorry about sticking with the best of yesterday. Man, Sunday night was rough, let's just say. I was worried I wasn't going to have a voice today. But I do, so I'm here. And there is news you can use, important news. Stacey Abrams, she's been so busy campaigning to be Vice President of the United States that she forgot to do one big important thing. She never actually endorsed Joe Biden. No, I'm not making that. I saw this headline today, and I thought, you mean she hadn't done it already? Nope, she hadn't done it already. Headline from the Politico. Stacey Abrams endorses Biden. The former Georgia gubernatorial candidate becomes the latest potential vice presidential pick to back the presumptive Democratic nominee. What do you mean she hasn't done this before now? Stacey Abrams, the former Democratic nominee for governor in Georgia, she's doing it this morning? I'm confused. She endorsed former Vice President Joe Biden's White House bid. Vice President Biden is the leader America needs, a leader who will restore dignity, competence, and compassion to the Oval Office while restoring America's moral leadership of the world. She said in a statement distributed by the Biden campaign. In other words, the statement was prepared and vetted and released and embargoed to this morning. So the headline is out this morning, but the practical effect of this is that it didn't happen until this morning. So
Abrams' statement Tuesday represents another high-profile endorsement of Biden from one of his prospective vice presidential picks.
So she's not even the first. Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Gretchen Whitmer, all top candidates to become his running mate, have similarly thrown their support. But among the field of female Democratic candidates likely to take the number two spot, Abrams has most aggressively lobbied for the role, publicly promoting herself for the job and arguing she would make an excellent choice. Biden's campaign has tired of Abrams' antics. As a result of this, they want nothing to do with her. They believe her campaign for vice president is getting more exposure than Joe Biden's campaign for president, and they don't like it. They want her to cut it out. This is just amazing, though. She's been campaigning for vice president for so many weeks, and she forgot to even endorse the guy. That just, wow. But to talk about putting the cart before the horse. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is kind of embarrassing. You know, so I had a call. I write two newspaper columns a week. One is a syndicated column. You should tell your local newspaper to carry my syndicated column from Creator Syndicate. And then I do another column in the Macon Telegraph, where I live. And the one in the Macon Telegraph was on this Stacey Abrams situation. And I don't need to rehash it because it was basically my monologue from last week on She Needs to Remember Shakespeare in Love. The Miramax campaigned so hard for that movie to beat Saving Private Ryan. It did. And ever after, movies have been punished for openly campaigning for Best Picture. And she's been openly campaigning for vice president in a way that struck so many as unseemly. And in fact, she's gotten more attention for her vice presidential bid than Biden's gotten for his presidential bid. And it's hurting her. She needs to show some level of humility. And don't tell me she's not capable of it. I actually have interviewed Stacey Abrams before. She was one of the best interviews I have ever conducted. I have interviewed world leaders. And Stacey Abrams was self-deprecating. She was funny. She showed levels of humility in the things she didn't understand. She was willing to admit. I appreciated that. And she needs to do that now. But, man, she is not. So, all right, that's all we need to say about that. There's no reason to turn this into an entire half of the show. But, yeah, she totally forgot to endorse Biden, and today she is. Before I go on, there were emails from people who were very upset I wasn't here yesterday, wanting to know if I got my smoke. I have not gotten my smoker. I went out and I loaded up on Mrs. Griffin's barbecue sauce, which is kind of funny because they are sponsoring the show, and I intend to like take pictures of me cooking with Mrs. Griffin's barbecue sauce because we actually use it in our house, and none of you actually believe me. So I'm going to put it on Instagram. You should follow me there, and you should go get Mrs. Griffin's barbecue sauce yourself in any event. But I didn't get my smoker, and Roland Neal, who is the owner of Mrs. Griffin's barbecue sauce, he texted me yesterday and said, don't forget to mention Mrs. Griffin's. And did you get your smoker? No, I didn't get my smoker, and I've been up all night puking my guts up, so I wasn't on radio yesterday. So I'm killing all birds with one stone this morning and making it happen. Oh, yesterday was rough, but I intend to put up pictures of my Rectech pellet grill when I get it. And, you know, the sad thing is all these people who are, I'm reading all these cookbooks, and they make disparaging comments on the pellet grill, and I get it. I kind of like controlling the fire and stuff in my Big Green Egg, but I've done it. I've done it for more than a decade, and now I want something that I can set it and forget it. I want to sleep at night instead of staying up with my brisket, so it'll be here tomorrow. We need to move on to something that I have talked about multiple times, and it comes to the foreground now, again, with the Ahmaud Arbery situation. Mr. Arbery was gunned down in Brunswick, and it has become quite a national issue. And I would submit to you that it never should have been a national issue, in large part because a mother whose child is gunned down in the street should not have to go to the national press to gain outrage to seek justice for her son. And Mr. Arbery's mother did. I am a conservative. I am in the conservative movement. I have had profiles written of me as one of the influential conservatives in this country. I have candidates running for president who call who, for, in 2024, no less, already calling. I have had, you know, one of the untold stories of the 2016 campaign is the vice president flying into Macon to campaign and setting aside an hour to sit down and meet with me and try to persuade me to get on board the Trump-Pence campaign. The vice president has been a dear friend for more than a decade. I've got a book. I can see it from my vantage point right now that he gave me when I first got started in politics, Russell Kirk's Conservative Mind, with a great inscription on the inside of it that if you're going to be in the conservative movement, you might as well learn what conservatism really stands for. And I believe that conservatism does actually stand for stuff. And there's this trite little statement that I hear the growing populist nationalist movement make. What does conservatism ever conserve? It has conserved your ability to stand in the public square and defend your positions. It has defended a culture of life and advanced a culture of life in this country. It has defended you being able to homeschool your kids in this country. The conservative movement has done a great deal in this country. Conservative movement does not mean that you're fixed in time, but it means we slow down the advance of the state to figure out whether or not it's the right way to go. And the people who say what has conservatism ever conserved are people who claim to have been in the conservative movement but never bothered to figure out what it meant to be a conservative other than throw bombs at the left. And those of us who are in the conservative movement should be a little concerned with the fact that there are people out there who claim to be conservative who have become truthers at war with the truth. The COVID-19 truthers who are convinced it's no big deal, it's just like the flu, pay no attention to the numbers are all wrong, everything is rigged. Everything you want to believe, you go find. Like the people who are going for that plandemic video or the Bill Gates truthers. I haven't spent a lot of time on Bill Gates, but I'm starting to get emails from listeners asking me what I think on this, which tells me that it is creeping in on social media. The Bill Gates conspiracy theories, they're all crap, by the way. I'm not a big Bill Gates fan. I'm an Apple guy. I'm not a Windows guy. Bill Gates, I think, largely got inspired to steal Windows from Apple. I don't think that's really a dispute. He just coded it differently so he could get away with it, which was smart on his part. But the man actually is a brilliant leader who has made billions of dollars several times over making personal computers a thing. And I do not believe he is looking to gain billions of dollars by making a COVID-19 vaccine. In fact, he's going through his nonprofit foundation, which would not make a profit on this stuff. He is doing it for the common good. And you all are so, I shouldn't say you all, some of you are so suspicious of people doing things for the common good these days. You're willing and able to latch onto Senator Motos where there are none. Bill Gates is not a sinister person. He did not manufacture COVID-19 to get rich off of people. He's not trying to manufacture a vaccine to get rich off people. He's got enough money. Bill Gates can't spend all of his money right now. Bill Gates is deeply, deeply concerned with public health the world over. He's been for years trying to battle malaria and come up with ways to treat malaria. This virus is something he's been warning about, a global pandemic, for years, and now suddenly it's here. And so he's mobilizing his resources to fight it. And what's the thanks? You got a bunch of people out there spreading conspiracy theories about him that he's intentionally infecting people on behalf of China to get wealthy, which is nuts. When you want to believe the worst about something, you always, guess what, wind up believing the worst about the person. There's no reason to believe the worst about Bill Gates. There's no reason to believe the lies about COVID-19. It actually is bad. A lot of people actually are dying. More than half of them are in nursing homes, which suggests we need to find a path forward that involves protecting the elderly in our population. But there's no reason to be a truther on this stuff. And now, it is not a coincidence, I don't think, that some of the very same people who are spreading COVID-19 lies are also spreading lies about Ahmaud Arbery. It is striking to me that you have a situation of a black victim, two white men who killed him, and you've got usual suspects out there trying to make this all about race, not from the left, not from the black community, but from the white community. They're out to get the white guys. They're always wanting to blame the white. You know, sometimes the white guys deserve the blame. It is striking to me to see a number of people out there who should know better, who are trying to say, well, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, he wasn't a good guy. Do you know, let's accept these things. Just for the sake of argument, let's accept they're true. It appears that Gregory McMichael, who shot and killed Mr. Arbery, who was the investigator, actually had a run-in with Mr. Arbery in 2018, where Arbery was arrested and his probation for something was revoked. It appears that he might have been involved in a burglary. It appears, maybe, for the sake of argument, say he was. Doesn't matter. Gregory McMichael had no business following Mr. Arbery, blocking his path, brandishing a weapon, and saying he was going to enact a citizen's arrest on him. It doesn't matter if Ahmaud Arbery was in a construction site. The homeowner of that construction site tells ABC News nothing was stolen. There was no police report filed. It was no big deal. People have been going in to check out his home that he's building. There was another video circulated that purported to show Ahmaud Arbery at a residence on multiple occasions at night prowling about. Mr. Arbery's family and now others have come forward and said that wasn't him. Even if it was him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He should still be alive had Gregory McMichael restrained himself and decided not to be a cop, which he's not. He's an investigator for district attorney. Arbery would still be alive. I see no reason anyone needs to slander Ahmaud Arbery other than to try to discredit him and to defend the people who killed him. I saw someone on my Facebook page last night saying, well, I'm going to withhold judgment. I'm going to withhold judgment. I can't believe you're rushing to... What the hell do you have to rush to... The guy is dead. There's no... The rush to judgment happened by the two people who killed him. All of these people... And, you know, they wouldn't be doing that. The people are saying, I'm going to hold my finger. I'm not going to rush to judgment on this. I don't know what happened. I bet they wouldn't be doing that if it were the roles were reversed and the races were reversed. Conservatives need to do a better job of calling out the truthers in their midst. You know, I say all the time that most of the conservative movement is premised in Judeo-Christianity, where there is an absolute truth. And we got a bunch of people who want to be Pontius Pilate now within the conservative movement. So what is truth? What is this truth thing you're talking about? What's true for you may not be true for me. No, there actually is truth. We got an obligation to it. And so we got an obligation to call out the people on our side who are spreading lies and innuendo and trying to discredit a dead man so that they could justify murder. And that's exactly what they're doing. They don't want to admit it, but that's what they're doing. They're trying to justify a murder. And we should call them out on that. A man is dead, and he's dead because two people decided to take the law into their own hands. They had no business doing so. It does not matter whether Mr. Aubrey was a saint or not. He should still be alive. And frankly, there are a number of people on the conservative side who right now are more invested in the narrative that Ahmaud Arbery wasn't a saint than in the fact that his lack of sainthood does not mean he deserved to die. He was not charged with a crime. He was not arrested by law enforcement. He was hunted down, his path blocked, and he struggled. And he had every right to struggle, just as you would have a right to struggle if someone pulled a gun on you. But the odds are that if you're white, it wouldn't have happened to you. And if it had happened to you, there would have been an arrest, and there wasn't. It should bother everyone that his family had to go to national media to get attention for justice to be done.
Want to be on the show? Call Eric now at 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
So there was a bunch of hullabaloo yesterday that Mitch McConnell had COVID-19, that he tested positive for COVID-19. It turns out it was a comedienne who thought it would be funny to tweet out that he had COVID-19 because she's upset with his policies. She ultimately wound up deleting the tweet. But, yeah, you know, it's funny because Mitch McConnell is on the wrong side, and therefore it's okay to say that he had COVID-19. It's amazing to watch people on the left really, really root against conservatives, root against the hair salon owner in Dallas, Texas. Who they've got no relation to these people. They've got no connection to these people, no ties to these people. And so they can tell jokes about them, and they can mock their misfortune when it comes to the virus. Listen, I'm in the it's time to reopen camp. And I'm also in the it is time to get serious and stop peddling nonsense about the virus camp. It is possible to be in both camps. It is possible to decide that the virus is bad and a big deal, and also that we need to find a way to reopen this idea. So Anthony Fauci is going to testify before Congress today. And in his testimony before Congress, Fauci is going to say that there will be needless deaths by this rush to reopen. And I understand what he's saying. As someone who treats the virus seriously, who is worried about the viral spread, who is worried about a rebound, we're seeing rebounds in different parts of the world, and we're going to have to do a better job of containing it here when it does rebound. But it is going to rebound because there is no cure, and we have no immunity to it. Now, listen, I've got friends of mine who advocate the whole herd immunity thing, but you got to get 80% of the country infected to have herd immunity, and that's going to kill a lot of people. And it's going to fill up a lot of hospitals. But the idea that we've got to wait at this point, particularly when Fauci's own data acknowledges that hotter, warmer, more humid weather is going to help. By the way, there's good news here in Georgia. Speaking of, I don't know where the hot weather is in Georgia, by the way. This is so weird. I mean, it's been pleasant. We've been sleeping with the windows open at our house because it's so cool at night. And in fact, I had the last couple of nights in a row had to put on an extra blanket because the house got so cold at night. It was great. Man, I don't know about you guys up in North Georgia. It's got to be super pleasant up there if downright chilly. You're almost to summer and it's cold out, which is fine with me. So where is the summer heat and humidity that's going to help us? But eventually it will come. And when it comes, you will all forget, as you are serenaded by media saying global warming because it's so hot outside, you'll all forget just how mild May was. But that hot weather and humidity will help with the virus, will help mitigate the virus. And we need to figure out a way to reopen. The idea that we can stay home forever is preposterous to me. People need to work. It's good for your soul to work. And it also generates income for you. Eventually, the government, we're going to see out of control inflation and all sorts of financial repercussions if the government continues to do what it's doing. It's not a good setup for us to stay home. We got to find a path forward. And Fauci, listen, he's not wrong when he says more people are going to die by reopening than if we stayed put. But there is some data out there that does suggest that staying put, we still lost a lot of people, and more than half of the deaths have come from nursing homes. If we could figure out the nursing home situation, it wouldn't be as bad. It would be bad, but not as bad. But there's also the New York City situation, and everyone forgets this. I wonder how much different the coverage would be if the media were not all in New York City. You know, it's like if there's a blizzard in Montana, it doesn't get covered by the national press. But if you get three snowflakes in New York City, it becomes a breaking news item and leads the world news on every network. The coronavirus situation in New York is so bad, and yet they're treating Andrew Cuomo as some sort of conquering hero, when in fact it looks more and more like Andrew Cuomo completely mismanaged the situation in New York, and no one wants to call him out. They want to set him up as the good guy against Donald Trump as the bad guy, and it's really false advertising and a false narrative. You know, if I were a Republican billionaire right now, one day, maybe I can have aspirational goals, can't I? I actually don't want $1 billion. I wouldn't mind being able to. I want it. There's some land near me, and I would love to buy a lot of land. And I have had this house in my head. I mean, literally, I've had this house built in my head since I was a kid. And I want to build this house. And I've added to it and added different things to it over the years. But by and large, the house has remained in design the same way it always has. And I want a lot of land, and I want to build my house. And I wouldn't mind having a beach house. I wouldn't mind having I wouldn't mind money. I don't have it right now. One day, if this show takes off I think the glory days of $100 million radio deals are done, but I don't need that much. But I don't want to be a billionaire. I don't know a whole lot of billionaires who I think I'm going to see on the other side of eternity, put it to you that way. And money does something to people long term, if they don't know how to use it in the right way. But nonetheless, if I were a Republican billionaire right now, I would be running ads across the country in local media highlighting everything the media continues to get wrong on the COVID-19 story and how they're not reporting stuff. So, for example, the great media freakout over Brian Kemp reopening Georgia. We're now about 14 days into this, and we're not having the massive flare-up the media said we're going to have. Now, maybe we will, but thus far we're not. Or in Florida, they reopened beaches in Florida, and they have not had this massive viral spread in Florida. Or remember Wisconsin, there's an election today in Wisconsin. People are actually going to the polls in Wisconsin today. Where is the media hysteria over spreading the virus? Remember all the media outrage over the Wisconsin viral spread from the election? And there were certainly some pockets of it that happened, but by and large, it did not happen in the way the media claimed. I would be running these ads nonstop nationwide in local media with the tagline at the end, they don't care if they're right, they care about helping the Democrats. Because it seems more and more likely that they are. I mean, look at the Chuck Todd situation on NBC on Sunday on Meet the Press. His team selectively edited William Barr to make it claim that William Barr did not have a reason for dropping the Mike Flynn lawsuit, when in fact they cut the clip right before William Barr explained his reasoning. And it blew up, and Chuck Todd and NBC have had to come out and apologize for it. CBS News has done something recently very much the same way. There have been several times where the media is just, they are all in on helping the Democrats right now. And they always have been, but I've never seen it as in your face as it is right now. Take, for example, the president's press conference yesterday, where the president decided he wanted to go through this. Let me play the soundbite for you from his press conference before I get to that.
I had an update on the unprecedented testing capacity developed by the United States, the most advanced and robust testing system anywhere in the world by far. This afternoon, I'll also announce new steps that we're taking to make tests even more widely available. To battle the virus, my administration marshaled every resource at our nation's disposal, public, private, military, economic, scientific, and industrial, all at your disposal. We launched the largest manufacturing ramp-up since the Second World War. There's been nothing like it since. At the center of this industrial and scientific mobilization was the development of our coronavirus testing capabilities. In the span of just a few short months, we've developed a testing capacity unmatched and unrivaled anywhere in the world, and it's not even close. This is a core element of our plan to safely and gradually reopen America. And we're opening and we're starting, and there's enthusiasm like I haven't seen in a long time. Every American should be proud of the amazing array of talent, skill, and enterprise our nation has brought to this challenge. In 3 months, the FDA has authorized more than 92 different tests, and over 9 million have been performed here in the United States. 3 weeks ago, we were conducting roughly 150,000 tests per day. Now we're doing approximately 300,000 tests per day, a 100% increase, and it will go up substantially from that number.
So for weeks, the media has been going after the president. What about testing? What about testing? What about testing? What about testing? How good your testing? Why isn't your testing good? Well, why do we suck, Mr. President? Why is Europe better than us? Because, you know, the media believes Europe is always better than us. Why not? So here he comes and he gives the data. We're now testing more than all these other countries. We're testing more per capita. We're testing more in overall numbers. Testing is good. We can reopen the country because we're meeting the testing metrics that the doctor said we needed to meet to be able to reopen the country. So he gets towards the end of the press conference, and this reporter, I don't know who she was, but of Asian descent, says, Mr. President, why are you making this a competition? Y'all. For weeks on end, the media has been attacking the president for not ramping up testing nationwide. So he ramps up testing nationwide. He has a press conference and he says how much better we're doing than all these other countries that we were behind a couple of weeks ago. And why is it a competition? Why does it matter that we're ahead of? Because you people made it. But so he ultimately says, ask China. And the reporter says, well, why are you telling me to ask China? She's an Asian descended of Asian descent. Now, the media immediately presumes the president is being racist. Here's the thing, though. Some of you will immediately presume the president is being racist. My default is not to presume the president is being racist. It is, if you will recall a few weeks ago, there was a female Asian reporter who happened to work for the Chinese communist regime who was asking the president questions that were based on Chinese propaganda talking points. Yesterday in the Rose Garden, all of the reporters were wearing face masks. What's more likely, that the president was racist? If you're a Democrat, you're going to say yes, I get that. But in all honesty, what's more likely, that the president was being racist or the president got the two reporters confused? Thought that the reporter asking the questions yesterday was the reporter who actually was working for the Chinese Communist News Organization. Listen, your mileage can vary on this. I don't really care. But I think that the media immediately jumping to, oh, well, he was racist. Here's Brian Stetler on CNN.
Well, clearly the president was rattled enough to walk off because he didn't want to hear the questions from Caitlin Collins and Weijia Zhang. And I think what we saw in that exchange with Weijia Zhang is something that has racial overtones. It is racist to look at an Asian American White House correspondent and say, ask China. This isn't happening in a vacuum. This is part of a pattern of behavior from the president that goes back many years. So he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt that someone might have if, for the first time ever in their life, they made a comment like that to a reporter. But the president has been rattled by Weijia Zhang's questions in the past. He has treated her and other female reporters differently in the past. And he's also had this pattern of reacting to minority journalists in a very specific and different way, Wolf. For example, a few years ago, President Trump said to April Ryan, a black correspondent, to follow up with the Congressional Black Caucus because he kind of just assumed they were friends. And here today, he's saying to a Chinese-born journalist, ask China. Now, of course, he says he was directing it. He would have said the same thing to anyone. But the pattern suggests otherwise.
I can't listen to him anymore. Weijia Zhang, is she the CBS reporter who claims someone called the virus the Kung Flu to her and she's generated a story and won't actually name the White House personnel who said it? Is that the reporter we're talking about? Because I honestly don't trust that reporter. And I'll just be real honest with you. When you go out and you create a story, you create a story as a journalist and make it about you. Someone said Kung Flu to me and I'm offended by it. And then I'm not going to tell you who said it. That reporter already doesn't have credibility. But regardless, I would submit to you, it is actually very likely that the president of the United States confused her with the Chi-Com reporter. There actually was a female Chinese communist reporter that the White House press corps let in. Remember, the White House press corps sets who gets to come ask these questions. They give the credentials to come be a part of their little show. The White House itself does not do this. It's the press corps. Jonathan Carl from ABC News is the head of it right now. Ed Henry, I think last year from Fox News, was in charge of it. But you got to keep that in mind, please. And they allowed a Chinese communist reporter to come ask Chinese communist propaganda-based questions to the president a couple of weeks ago, and he was having none of it. And I suspect this reporter was wearing a face mask. He didn't realize that they weren't the same person, and he said, go ask China. That is my presumption. Not that he was being racist to this CBS reporter who's been nursing all sorts of grievances against this White House, creating stories about herself in this White House without actually then announcing who did. You know, there was that scene with Kellyanne Conway several weeks ago when the story blew up and they were asking Kellyanne Conway about it. And Kelly, well, who said it to her? She's created the story and she won't tell us who did it. The media double standard. You guys, I'm telling you, you could do an ad campaign and totally discredit them. I mean, they're discrediting themselves, but a lot of people aren't connecting the dots on this. The media right now is all about helping Joe Biden get elected. That's it. And they will surrender everything to get Joe Biden elected. It is a big deal for them. All of their credibility, all of their trust, all of their responsible news coverage out the window just to get Joe Biden elected. Look at how they're championing Andrew Cuomo in New York City. You would think that Andrew Cuomo was qualified for sainthood and 0.5% of New York City is dead from the coronavirus. I saw that statistic today, unreal. 0.5% of New York City from the corona. Just absurd numbers. And Andrew Cuomo completely screwed things up. He didn't shelter in place when he should have. He let things drag out. He didn't close down schools in New York City. He and the mayor of New York were squabbling. The mayor's a bigger idiot than Andrew Cuomo. And the media is treating Cuomo for sainthood. Chris Cuomo, his brother, has him on CNN all the time, building him up, making him look personable, never challenging what he got wrong. They would never do that to Donald Trump. They are all in the tank for the Democrats right now. Every single one of them in the tank for the Democrats and helping build up Andrew Cuomo in New York City, ignoring the death toll in New York City. When you subtract, yeah, remember last week there was the story about, you know, the nation continues to increase in COVID-19 cases if you take New York out of the equation. Actually, you take New York City out of the equation, you take New York State out of the equation, the situation in the United States is way better. Way better. I mean, the United States just drops per capita, drops on every list dramatically if you take New York out of the equation. Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio screwed it up. But the media hates Donald Trump so much they will build up Andrew Cuomo as some sort of hero for no other reason than they feel compelled to build him up to go after Donald Trump. Striking media bias in that regard. It is. But there's nothing you can do unless you're a Republican billionaire and want to run an ad campaign. And I think you should. There's more from the White House conference I want to get to. Let me play one more clip though, before we go to commercial with the president on the Chinese hackers.
Please go ahead. There are a variety of reports that Chinese hackers are attempting to steal technology related to vaccine research. Is this something you're concerned about? What can you say?
So what else is new with China? What else is new? Tell me. I'm not happy with China. They should have stopped this at the source. They could have stopped it right at the source. So now you're telling me they're hacking. So I just say this, Steve, what else is new? up, sir. We're watching it very closely.
If I could follow up, sir, the South China Morning Post, the Beijing newspaper, says that China would like to reopen negotiations on the trade deal to make the terms more favorable to them. Is this something you'd be interested in doing?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit, no. I'm not interested. We signed a deal. I had heard that, too. They'd like to reopen the trade talk to make it a better deal for them. China's been taking advantage of the United States for many, many years, for decades, because we had people at this position right here where I'm standing, sitting right in that office, the Oval Office, that allowed that to happen. No, I'm not interested in that. Let's see if they live up to the deal that they signed.
You know, he's got a point. But the media in this country is so antagonistic towards him. You know, they're out today claiming that China is going to retest 11 million people in Wuhan because six people have the virus. And they're just reporting it as fact. They're not even recognizing Chinese propaganda at play. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay. We need to take a commercial break. Before I do, I want to remind you guys about First Liberty Building and Loan down in Noonan. They're in Noonan. They're local. They're here. They're in Georgia. They're the Frost family. If you're involved in conservative politics at all, you probably know the Frost. If you need PPP, the Payroll Protection Program, if you need to get into it and you haven't been able to get into it yet, there's still money in the program, and the Frost at First Liberty have been helping people get in. If you go to firstlibertyga.com, the Frost can help you navigate the program. It is firstlibertyga.com is their website. And there's an apply now button. If you click the button, they will be able to get you into the program. Maybe they can't guarantee it. I don't want to say they can get you in. They can't guarantee it. They've been having really good success lately. There's still money in the program. Congress is actually thinking of adding even more money to the program still. So if you haven't gotten into the payroll protection program for your small business and you want to get into it, go to firstlibertyga.com, click the apply now button. The one thing the Frosts tell me is that you do need to go on and get your paperwork in order. You've got to have a proof of payroll. And whether it's your quarterly filings with the IRS or something else to show payroll, you got to be able to get that together quickly so that they can get you into the program. But if you're interested, they can't guarantee it. They'll do their best. It is firstlibertyga.com is the website.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday.
You can call in. I've been bad about giving the phone number today. I wasn't here yesterday and I had so much I wanted to catch up on, and we had the press conference, but I will take your phone calls if you want to call in. 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425 is the phone number. The phone lines actually are open. Very happy to have you here if you want to be here. Y'all, my gym opens next week, and I am definitely going back. Now, I pay extra for one-on-one, so it won't be me in a crowd there. It'll just be me and the trainer, but man, yeah, am I the only one who sucks at working out at home? I have tried it. I ordered a barbell 2 months ago, and there were no weights to buy. Everybody went out and bought all the weights. There are no weights. There's just the barbell, and so I ordered it, and it never came, so I canceled it, and then it came, and they charged me, and I kept it because I'm not sending that bad boy back. But my goodness gracious, I'm not good at working out at the house. So I've been going for a lot of walks, having quiet time in the afternoon alone, having to come to terms with the fact that summer is upon us. The kids have already been home for a month and a half, although they've been working during the day. And now what are they going to do while I'm in the house? Like this morning, I got up, got ready for the show. I was in here starting the show. I went out on commercial break, everyone's still asleep. Other than my son is up. He's up playing a video game, which we got to work on that as well. We can't have screen time all summer long. But I've got friends who send their kids to camp, and they're beside themselves that camp is probably going to be canceled this summer. And apparently this is a thing for some people. I don't understand it. My parents never sent me to camp. Now, granted, I grew up in Dubai, but we would come home during the summer. But I never even knew camp was a thing until I was in college, and people talking about they went to camp during the summer. A week or two during the summer, they would go to camp. What is this? You abandon your kids for 2 months. You don't see them all year long, and then during the summer, you get to see them, and you get tired of them, so for 2 weeks, you send them to camp. Now, turns out that a lot of my friends actually loved it. Great experience. We made friends. We learned stuff, and okay. I don't want to disparage people for going to camp, but I really had no idea this was a thing. And I was talking to a friend the other day who his kids' camp is canceled this summer. They don't know what they're going to do. Having the kids home all summer long. Well, you do stuff where you learn to ignore them. I don't know. I just say this is a whole new phenomenon for me. All right. So Bryan Adams, you know, Bryan Adams, summer of 69 and all of that. He went on a tirade about the virus. And I got to tell you, I read it and a buddy of mine who sent it out was right. It sounds like it could be a tirade from a diehard Donald Trump supporter. Where is this? Thanks to some blankety blank bat eating, wet market, animal selling, virus making, greedy blankety blanks, the whole world is now on hold, not to mention the thousands that have suffered or died from this virus. And then he turned that into a message on how everyone should be vegan and stop that, stop eating. So it sounded like it was a tirade from a Trump supporter, but then it actually turns out that he's totally a vegan and wants people to be a vegan. And now it's become all sorts of outrage. He was supposed to have a concert. He was supposed to be at Royal Albert Hall, and now it's getting canceled. And he went on this tirade and he really wishes that everyone would become vegan so that the virus would have never, for my goodness gracious. People are really upset. People are really, really upset. Here's one tweet I'm seeing. I'm willing to sell my Bryan Adams cassette tape. I can't support him anymore. Oh my goodness. People are so upset with him. I didn't have Bryan Adams being a screaming racist on my 2020 Stop the Madness bingo card. Says, this is a blue checkmark brigade. Yes, an NBC legal contributor. Yeah, you know, the people who are most outraged, interestingly enough, are the blue checkmark brigades. Most normal people are like, yeah, okay. But nope, the blue checkmarks are, we can never listen to Bryan Adams again now. He must be reeducated.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.